Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God in His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Luke. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
At some point in life, we've all found ourselves on the outside looking in, maybe feeling at a loss for how we might gain entrance or belonging. For anyone burdened with a sense of not being enough, smart enough, popular enough, competent enough, Luke proclaims the Jesus who welcomes all, especially the outsider. Luke was a first century Christian who collected eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and compiled them into this book. In the time before Christ, God chose and worked out His plan of salvation through the Jews. Luke, however, was a non-Jew, or what we might call a Gentile. And he knew that his message would be received by many other Gentiles who might feel excluded or inferior in the family of God. For this reason, Luke's message centers on the inclusivity of Jesus' salvation. It answers the question, who has Jesus come to save? So, who has Jesus come to save? Jesus has come to save those in need. Jesus launches His ministry by announcing, I've come to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to give recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed. After this proclamation, Jesus begins healing people who are diseased, ill, and paralyzed. He raises a child from the dead. He publicly forgives and restores a prostitute. And when questioned about His choice to spend time with these types of people, Jesus replies, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick." The world gives priority to the competent and powerful, to those who have something to offer. But it is not so with Jesus. He has come for those who know their need. Who has Jesus come to save? Jesus has come to save the excluded. At one point in His teaching, Jesus uses a parable to demonstrate how someone who has inherited eternal life should live, loving God and loving his neighbor. But interestingly, as He speaks to a group of religious leaders in the Jewish community, Jesus doesn't use a Jew as a protagonist. In His story, Jesus describes two Jewish religious leaders passing by a wounded man on the road. It is a Samaritan who stops to help this man and loves his neighbor. At the time, Jews shunned Samaritans as ethnic outsiders. With this parable, Jesus is exalting the outsider, welcoming them into His eternal life. Who has Jesus come to save? Jesus has come to save the rebellious. Jesus tells another parable about two sons. One son disowns his father, runs away from home, and wastes all his father's inheritance through irresponsible life choices. The son comes back home for help, and he's ashamed and sorry for his actions. And surprisingly, the father is overjoyed at his son's return, and he throws a party. The older, obedient son, however, resents his father's forgiveness and misses out on the celebration. With the story, Jesus is demonstrating that God has come to seek and save the lost. And He joyfully welcomes the humble and repentant. A perfect track record is irrelevant to belonging in God's family. And finally, who has Jesus come to save? Jesus has come to save His enemies. we see in Luke's gospel, the Jewish religious leaders become offended by Jesus' teaching and upset at how he has disrupted their social order. So they decide to put Jesus on trial, where he is sentenced to death by crucifixion. But amazingly, as Jesus hangs on the cross, he prays for the very people killing and mocking him. "Forgive them, Father," Jesus cries out from the cross. And then, seeing Christ for who he is, a criminal crucified besides Jesus is moved to confess his sin and ask, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus responds, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus has come to save those who helplessly cast themselves upon him for salvation. When you had nothing to offer, while you were still God's enemy, Jesus came for you. And as recipients of this salvation, we are invited to live with our eyes open to those whom the world might reject, but who are welcomed by Christ. Luke 14:13 says, "Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Christian author Bob Goff said it this way: "Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people most of us have spent our whole lives trying to avoid." The history of the early church holds prime examples of what it looks like to imitate Christ in its welcome of outsiders. In shocking contrast to the contemporary Roman society around them, Christians asserted that no matter your social status or nationality, all were equal in Christ. The church was a shocking picture of unity between people of different ethnicities and social groups. And it was also countercultural in the way it cared for the poor or those in need. While at the time it was expected to care for one's family or tribe, Christians cared for anyone. During urban plagues, Christians wouldn't flee the cities like everyone else, but would often stay and care for the sick and dying of all groups, often at the cost of their own lives. In an article on the early Christian church, Dr. Tim Keller describes the church as a unique social project. He says, "They were a contrast community, a counterculture that was both offensive and yet also attractive to many. It was because the early church didn't fit in with its surrounding culture, but rather challenged it in love, that Christianity eventually had such an effect on it." So what would it look like for you to go against the norm of gravitating towards those who are like you, to those who can do something for you, and instead extend yourself to people who are different, people on the outside, people who you might be naturally inclined to avoid? In light of Christ's gift of acceptance and belonging in your own life, take a moment to ask God to open your eyes to those who he might have you reach out to and love today. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for the acceptance and belonging you have been given in him.
For everyone who's hurting, wait on the Lord. For everyone who's broken, wait on.